This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to start today with a changing of the guard at the state's highest court. This afternoon, Justice Ralph Gantz became Chief Justice Ralph Gantz as he took the oath of office to lead the Supreme Judicial Court. Gantz has long been an advocate for significant criminal justice reform, a cause which he spoke about today on the Statehouse floor.
We need to recognize that every court, not just our drug and mental health and veteran courts, are problem-solving courts. And we need to be more creative in finding ways to resolve the problems that bring people to court.
Now, at the age of 59, Gantz is the youngest justice to sit on the SJC, and he could serve more than a decade as its chief before the mandatory retirement age of 70. Chief Justice Roderick Ireland reached that age recently. That prompted him to step down. And joining me now with more about Chief Justice Gantz is David Frank, managing editor at Mass Lawyers Weekly. David, great to have you back on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So first of all, tell us a little bit more about Justice Gantz and his judicial philosophy. How did he make his name in the state's legal world?
I mean, he really sort of, in terms of his work on the bench, he made his name when he was sitting in the Superior Court on the business litigation session. There's a court in Boston that handles some of the more complicated business disputes that arise in state court, and Judge Gantz took over for another judge named Judge Van Gestel, who had retired, and he really made a name for himself. Judge Gantz was writing decisions that were really complicated, really significant in terms of the legal impact, and he was doing it with such regularity that he became a big name in the legal world.
Yeah, it's interesting because he has been known to be a very strong questioner from the bench during oral argument in front of the SJC, and I think I remember that at one time, much earlier in his career, he was working at the FBI and pushed the Senate to disclose intelligence behind an FBI claim regarding that KGB agents had infiltrated the nuclear freeze movement in the United States, and he feels very proud of that moment because he said there wasn't any hard evidence that Soviet agents were at work, and so he's a really evidence-based jurist.
Right, and I mean, to your first point on his questioning, yes, he is certainly not the kind of judge who sits on his hands up on the bench and just lets the lawyers speak. I mean, when a lawyer goes before the Supreme Judicial Court, they only have a couple of minutes to make their argument, and Judge Gantz is one of those judges who I think views the oral argument as the opportunity for the lawyer to convince him about any questions he might have. So he very frequently, if he has questions, will ask them early and often. And I know that I think a lot of lawyers appreciate that because it does give the lawyer the opportunity to kind of know where the court is coming from and gives the lawyer the chance to address the questions that the judge has. So I think that's really his style. And yeah, his work as a federal prosecutor and some of the things he did with the FBI and with those cases, those are things he's talked about in his confirmation hearings for the Governor's Council, and it's something that he has never shied away from in terms of talking about his background as a lawyer.
It doesn't seem as if he shies away from much, because I think he was the justice who wrote that recent decision about the casino referendum that basically went against what Attorney General Martha Coakley had hoped for, and now we're going to get the public's going to get to vote on casinos in November because of him. That was an incredibly strongly worded a decision on his part. He basically fully called into question Martha Coakley's thinking on a casino referendum. What does a decision like that he authored tell us about how he views the role of the court?
Well, I think the casino decision, and I could rattle off a list of other sort of highly charged, controversial public decisions, speak to the fact that Judge Gantz or Justice Gantz is not afraid to put his questions out there. He's not afraid to author decisions that some people by definition aren't going to like. He's been doing that for a long time. And if you go back to the oral arguments in that casino case, Judge Gantz and Justice Cordy were really the two judges that were asking some of the more pointed questions on the bench during that presentation. So it's just another example of a judge who has a lot of confidence in his ability, a judge who has been deciding really complicated legal disputes for a long time, and I think it's just an example of the confidence he has in his abilities and the respect that he's garnered in the legal community.
Now, David, let's talk for a minute about what Chief Justice Gantz said on the State House floor today, because it's something he's been saying quite frequently in the recent past. And we played that tape earlier where he said that we have to recognize that every court, not just drug and mental health courts, are problem-solving courts. I mean, he said that before. He said it in a recent interview, saying even we, I suppose he means the SJC itself, are increasingly seeing ourselves as problem solvers. Is that, what does it mean that the head of the state's highest court is saying that?
Well, I think it's a sentiment that most, or I shouldn't say most, but many, many judges and folks in the legal community, myself included, believe is 100% accurate. The difference is that if I say it, I'm saying it and people can take it for what they want. But when the Chief Justice of the SJC is speaking about the importance of recognizing that courts are problem solvers, recognizing that mental health issues or issues surrounding indigency are important matters that courts have to pay attention to, I think it just carries more weight. And Justice Gantz has also been a big proponent of the need to try to minimize the number of people who are coming to court without being represented by lawyers. I've heard Justice Gantz talk about the probate and family court, divorce cases, cases involving family matters where litigants can't afford lawyers and are going into court dealing with some really important issues and not having lawyers there with them. And I know that's an issue that Justice Gantz is really important. It's important to him. That concept of access to justice is something that he's been advocating for a long time, and I do not expect that the title of Chief Justice of the SJC is going to make him change.
Now, is he going to change the SJC, the sort of flip side to that question, or is his elevation to chief sort of going to maintain some continuity in terms of the tenor, the tone, the political makeup, if one can say that there even is one on the SJC, of the state's highest court?
I don't see any big change. I mean, Justice Gantz has obviously been sitting on the SJC now for several years, and he has been the author, as you've identified one case, he's been the author of some really significant decisions. And I believe it's now with Justice Geraldine Hines getting sworn in shortly, I think Governor Patrick has appointed five members of the seven-member SJC. So I don't think that his elevation to chief is going to create any sort of tidal wave of change. It's really a progression of appointments. And Justice Gantz has not been a quiet member of the bench since he got up there, so I don't expect that there to be any major changes with him now being the chief.
David Frank is managing editor of Mass Lawyers Weekly. David, always great to have you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.